All right. That was Weezer, Say It Ain't So, off of their first album called Weezer, and Say It Ain't So, a new podcast. I looked at the podcasts you can see in the sidebar of my blog, and it's been over a year since I actually did a podcast. I've been a busy guy, but geez, Louise, over a year, that's ridiculous. So Say It Ain't So is kind of the theme for today, and the other theme for today is ice, snow, nasty weather, freaking winter in the Midwest, and global warming and all that. It's just totally ridiculous. We just had a huge snowfall, and the plows are actually plowing the snow that they plowed before, getting ready for more, because there wasn't enough room on the side of the roads anymore. So it's just totally, it's totally insane. So a big tip of the hat to Al Gore. Really appreciate all that global warming. Maybe you could open the door to your huge-ass mansion and send some of that warmth up here to melt some of this stuff. But my real first topic, now that that's off my chest, is a girl I used to know named Kate. That's not her real name, but I didn't ask her permission to use her real name, so I'm not going to. Anyways, this girl, Kate, is a girl I lived with in college. I mean, I didn't live with her, like, you know, we did cohabitate. We weren't going out or anything like that, but she actually kind of got roped into living with me and another friend of mine from Chicago, who I won't mention his name either, but excuse me. We lived in this apartment on Green Street in Champaign, and I to this day, I can't really imagine why she did that to herself, because, I mean, almost every night of the week, I mean, we were open for business as far as partying, drinking, and doing all kinds of stupid shit that a lot of it I regret. A lot of it, I don't really regret, but I guess I could have spent my time more productively, let's put it that way. I mean, me and my friend would play backgammon for shots before we went out. You know, if you go up on the bar, you do a shot. If you stay up on the bar for a turn, you do a shot. So we'd pretty much kill a bottle of, like, Seagram 7 and then go out and party. That's how bad it got. But, and we would host parties, too. We would have kegs in our apartment, and we had a DJ one time, and there was, like, a mosh pit in there one time, and, I mean, just such stuff I look back on, and it's just such stupid shit, but it does make me laugh. I mean, those are good times, and I was a kid, and we all do stupid things when we're kids, but, I mean, hats off to Kate. I mean, she actually partied with us sometimes. I'm sure it was getting pretty old towards the end. She got to see us in full regalia during football season, screaming and yelling at a TV set. My wife gives me the same kind of look Kate used to give me when football games are on, and I'm screaming at the TV and jumping up and down and pumping my fist or swearing, you know, in front of the kids or doing whatever. It's the same look that used to give me and my friend when we would do the same thing watching TV in our apartment. But anyways, I thought I'd give a shout out to her. She knows who she is if she's listening to this. And the cool part is that she found me. I hadn't spoken to her since we graduated in 1990 until about, I'm thinking about a year ago. I get this email from my blog, www.lifeinthegreatmidwest.blogspot.com, and she had somehow Googled my name and found me on this blog, and she emailed me and said, are you, you know, this Dan so-and-so? And I'm like, yeah, and I was just like, wow. I mean, from that, and we've been keeping in touch since then and sharing some memories and talking about, you know, how different our lives have gone, how different directions. And, you know, she's very successful, works for a large computer company now, and I'm totally proud of her. I would never have expected that she would have had that career path in front of her when she graduated, because she was, let's just say you would never have pegged her to be, have the job she has now. But I'm totally proud of her. I think it's totally awesome. I'm totally jealous of where she lives because she has awesome weather year-round. I won't go any further than that. But anyways, you know, that made my blog worth it right there. I mean, a lot of people, they think they're going to blog for money. They think they're going to get an income stream, you know, 99.99. I mean, you have as much chance of getting an income stream from that as from playing professional basketball. Let's put it that way. But, you know, I didn't really get into it for that. I got into blogging to practice my writing, to you know, have a little fun, have some discussions to learn, you know, to keep my brain moving forward. And, you know, just the fact that I found an old friend made that blog pay off in, you know, you can't put money, you can't put a price tag on something like that. That sounds kind of corny, I know, but that's the deal. I mean, to find an old friend and to be able to keep touch and to share some memories and, you know, well, really, frankly, I just wanted to ask her why she put herself through that for a whole year. But it was really cool, and I just wanted to share that, and I wanted to give her a shout out, and you know, I just wanted to tell her that, you know, I'm looking forward to staying in touch for the rest of our lives, and, you know, maybe I can get my wife and kids together with her family someday and, you know, have a good time. So anyways, that's just a cool story I thought I'd share. And I just think that, you know, stuff like that, when it kind of comes around to you, you know, it really makes you feel like you did something good. Frank Black. I think I own every piece of music that Frank Black has ever recorded. That particular song was Thalassocracy from Teenager of the Year, which is probably one of my favorite albums. They're all my favorites, but I like that one a lot more than some of the other ones. But yeah, honestly, I do think I own every piece of music he's ever recorded, including the Pixies, of course. Best band ever. So, I was thinking about something the other day, and I don't understand where some people come from. I mentioned one of the benefits of writing for my blog was finding my old friend, actually them finding me. But another thing that unfortunately comes with that, and with the rising popularity of your blogs, is that you get these idiots, just total idiots, that really don't have anything better to do than sit around all day and Google certain terms and then go to your blog, lay a bunch of turds, and leave. And the past 6 months or so, it's gotten worse. Our traffic on that blog is somewhere now between 50 and 200 unique hits a day. Most of them are from searches like Google. I mean, a lot of them are, but most of them are. And it's just amazing what some people Google. I mean, you always can, with SiteMeter, it's pretty cool. I mean, we have such a small amount of hits that you can typically drill down into the SiteMeter and find what exactly someone searched for when they happened upon your post. I mean, in that respect, Google is pretty good to us because they get us a lot of hits, and we meet a lot of people who are great. But a lot of times, I mean, these people come in and leave these nasty, stupid, completely base comments, and the way we've been dealing with them basically is we just quit engaging these types of people. I mean, if you're not going to come in and further a discussion about a topic that one of us has clearly put a lot of research in or a lot of thought, I mean, it's just useless to engage these people. And a gentleman from Chicago Boys actually, you know, kind of gave me some guidance on these lines. We had an email conversation, and Basically, he told me he just set up his blog so he could be with people who not only thought like him, but thought like him in method as well. In other words, you know, engaging, polite, you know, you make your points, I'll make my points, and we'll have a discussion rather than going into someone's blog and saying, you know, you're raving white right-wing lunatic, asshole, idiot, blah, 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 which is what we get a lot of. So the way we've been dealing with that, and it's been fairly effective lately, is just we've just been banging those comments out of there. I really don't want to go to comment moderation, which is where all of the comments go into a queue or a line, as it were, and then you have to go in there eventually and approve or disapprove them and, you know, put them up there then. I mean, it really slows down discussion. I mean, if you've got maybe three people or two people who are there at the same time, it kind of brings it to a halt because everyone submits these comments and then they don't see anyone commenting back and then they just go away or do whatever. If it gets too popular, I mean, that's what's going to have to happen, though. Everything will have to go into moderation, and like once a day or a couple times a day, I'll have to go in there and make sure it's not something stupid and, you know, approve or disapprove all that stuff. I really don't want to do that. You know, the blog is at a size now where you wouldn't think you'd have to, but it's amazing. I did that global warming post, you know, thanking Al Gore. This was about 3 or 4 weeks ago because it was so cold. I mean, you couldn't go outside for 5 minutes and you would be dead. I mean, the public safety people were telling everyone just not to even go outside. And you'd be amazed how many people just sit around and type in global warming. I mean, as if they know anything about it, as if I know anything about it. I'm just making a joke, you know, pointing out some things like, you know, I graphed the mean or the average high temperatures in Madison, and nothing's really changed over the past 50 years. And I just made a point. I'm like, you know, you can't base global warming on like 50 years of data or even 100 years. I mean, and these people just come in and lay these comments on it. It's just unbelievable. But the deletion thing seems to work pretty well. Carl had one the other day where he had a post where he was bashing the CTA with very good reason. I mean, if you've ever read or been in Chicago, I mean, it's just in a total state of chaos. And some guy comes in, or girl, whoever, who is a CTA employee and just starts bashing the comments in there. Well, he just deleted them all, closed the comments, and that was the end of that. And like he said, you know, if that guy wants to set up a pro CTA blog, more power to him. I'm sure he'll get, you know, no one going in there and agreeing with him. So I guess the main reason that I'm bringing this up is that I just simply can't believe people don't want to be more productive with their time. I mean, if you want to go scream at someone, go into Koss or Little Green Footballs or one of these other, you know, unmoderated blogs where insanity rules the day. But don't go into a place where a person has, you know, obviously thoughtfully, you know, put a lot of thought and research into a text, you know, a long text, and go in there and just say, oh, you're an asshole. I mean, I just don't understand where people come from sometimes. But anyways, that's something that's been happening lately on the blog, and it just blows my mind every time it happens. Another thing that blows my mind is that the spam we're starting to get again. I mean, these people really, really, really have to work for my comments to throw a spam in there. I don't have the word verification anymore because that wasn't really working very well, but you still have to go in there. It's a secure server, so you know, we're not getting blasted with waves of spam like we used to, but you still have to go in there and manually every time enter that stuff, and it's just pretty crazy. I had to close one of the older posts that was popular. We actually got a link from Michelle Malkin on Carl's North Face post, and the spam was trickling in there practically every day, so I just closed the comments on it. So, you know, it's too bad. I mean, that was a pretty funny comment thread. I think that's our longest one still, as a matter of fact. But anyway, so if you're going to open up your own blog, and I really encourage everybody to be honest with you, helps you keep up with your friends, get your thoughts out there, practice your writing, or whatever you want to do, you know, just know that if your hit count starts going up, you're going to have to deal with some of these issues. You know, you're going to need some good anti-spam software and, you know, or work with like Blogger or WordPress has a free site now. And, you know, you're just going to have to keep on top of it. That's part of the deal. Bonus points for you if you can tell me who that was. I'll give you a minute or two. Nah, no, I won't. You're never going to get it. Well, you might. That was the Beastie Boys off of Check Your Head, which is a totally awesome album. Looks like it was recorded in 92. That's track 15, Groove Holmes. That's a pretty cool song. I like that old Beastie Boys stuff. That's some of the old Beastie Boys is just some of the best music ever recorded, you know? Until they went off the deep end, like, I don't know, 2000 or 2002 or 3, when they got into that Tibet deal, and, you know, then all the music just went to crap, and it was just ridiculous. But I still love listening to those old discs anyways. I guess the last topic I'm going to have here is I just want to talk about business for a few minutes. I've got a certain vendor who I do business with here in Madison, and they're implementing some of the weird, I just can't explain the strategy they're using to try to capture market share. I understand what they're doing a little bit, but on the other hand, I don't. What we have is this vendor sells me products, and they also sell products to their own factory stores. So imagine you're an independent businessman like me, and you're in a town of 200,000 people, I might add. It's not like I'm in Chicago or something. So I'm selling this product, and then they open up a store, and they're going to sell it direct to my customers, okay? I don't even have to tell you what the product is. Just imagine that scenario. You can see where my margins are going already with this, okay? Then the factory store starts opening up what they call sub-distributors. So here I am in this town. I'm selling the product. There are also other independent distributors like myself who are attacking my market from other cities, which is fine. There are no rules against that. I can attack their cities as well if I decide to. That's no problem. I don't have any problem with that either. I mean, because they've got built-in disadvantages with distances built in, freight charges, things like that. So, you know, whatever. That's fine. We don't have a protected territory. Some brands you do, some you don't. So then the factory stores begin opening sub-distributors. So now I'm in this town of 200,000 people, and I'm selling a product. It's a heating and air conditioning product. I'm working against the factory, and then they start opening up little mini distributors. None of these guys know anything, I might add. They have no technical help. They have no parts in stock. They don't have any support. So I'm trying to figure out who the person up top in the middle of this company, what their overall strategy is. Because in this town, for this product, there are no fewer now than 8 places that you can pick up the phone, ask everybody what their price is, buy it at the cheapest price, and have it delivered or shipped to you or whatever. And, you know, I add a lot of value to this equation with my experience, knowledge, inventory, things like that. We take care of stuff here. You know, things don't get swept under the table at my business. Things get taken care of. At these other places, it's just chaos. I mean, they're impolite. A lot of times you have to go in there and pick your own order. I mean, that's unheard of in the wholesale HVAC business, which is where I operate. So, like I said, I was trying to figure out, it was about 6 months or so ago, who the genius is that determines this strategy, because we all know where it's going to end up. Eventually, people are going to start dropping this line because it's totally ridiculous. I mean, you do all this work, and then someone sells it to a customer for 5% less, and you're the one doing all the good work, and then they go down to where the jerk is just because they want to save a few bucks, which, you know, do I blame the customers? Not really. I mean, I might do the same thing. It really depends on how big a jerk they are. And I know how big a jerks these guys are, and it doesn't get any worse. I mean, these guys are bad. But anyways, let me get back to my main point. I'm getting distracted here because I get my ire up. So I was thinking about this, and then it's always refreshing, though, when I go to a Bear game. I usually take Carl along, and he works in a big company. And I kind of explain some of the things I'm going through to him, and he kind of looks at me, you know, in a almost a sheepish type of way, and he's kind of chuckling under his breath. I know. He just looks at me and says, "Man, you do not understand how big business works at all, because nothing needs to make sense." And, you know, the more every time I tell him a story, that's always his answer. He goes, "It doesn't always have to make sense. Sometimes that's just the way it is." So you know, I've been trying to keep that in the back of my head whenever I hear any story about something insane that a very large company gets involved in. It doesn't have to be Fortune 500, you know, even Russell 5000 size companies. So I just thought I'd bring that up real quick too. I mean, I wish I had more time to elaborate on it or, you know, in more detail, but I'm a little pressed for time. But I just always think that that's kind of wild that these huge companies, half the time, they're not really, you know, you don't know why they make these decisions. They just do. And of course, the situation I'm in right now is totally to the detriment of this company, because if a contractor does go to this their factory stores and gets hosed, they're never going to buy the product again. I mean, they're just killing themselves with this crazy strategy of all these points of distribution. Just, you know, it would be like if you were driving down the street and needed a Nokia cell phone, let's say, and there was an outlet on every single corner for an Nokia cell phone or something to that effect. But anyways, Carl with the sage advice, you know, it half the, you know, the right hand isn't talking to the left. A lot of these decisions just don't make sense, and they don't need to make sense. It's just the way they are with these big businesses. And it blows me away sometimes that, you know, these big companies who have a lot of shareholder money invested. I mean, everybody has stock market money. And you got these people making these decisions that really, frankly, they don't really give a damn. How could they? How could you sit there and think this strategy through and think that this is the optimal way to serve this market? There is no possible way that someone could have actually, who's rational, I guess, I never factored that in, that the person couldn't be rational, could sit down and say, okay, here's this market. It's really small. What we're going to do is we're going to keep the good distributor, and we're going to open up a bunch of really, really crappy ones all over the place. So the big distributor, the ones that are doing a good job, they're going to lose some sales and get mad at us and maybe investigate some other opportunities that they might pursue that might be better for them. That's what we're going to do. That makes a lot of sense. And then we'll let those factory stores open up more and more crappy distributors. We'll concentrate on poor service, no inventory, and really getting these contractors upset at us, so eventually that no one will want to buy this product in that market. Is that a good strategy? Yeah, that's a good strategy. Let's go do that. Okay, guys, break. And then they go do it. It's just amazing. But anyways, I'm starting to do some other things, and their day is coming. Mark my words, if it's the last thing I ever do, I'm going to do something. I'm not sure what it is yet. I have a few irons in the fire. But eventually, I'm gonna get mine, because I sit here and think about it every single day. And they're not. They really don't care. As long as their numbers stay level or go up a little bit, the shareholders are happy, you know, whatever. You know, or if this market tanks like it did last year, I mean, new housing starts were down 35%, you know, and that affects this vendor, you know, pretty heavily, you know. Hey, I'm not going to cry any tears over that. You know, the number's probably made up in another market, maybe where housing is better. I don't know. But anyways, just a random thought for you there. And I guess on the way out here for my first podcast in over a year, one of the best rock and roll songs of all time, probably. Husker Du, of course. And I guess I hope to see you or talk to you before another year is up. Thanks for listening, and I will talk to you later. Bye. To know that you're okay, but I don't want you to go.
friends, but I don't.